My name is Mark Romaldi. I'm a pastor of Grace Reformed Baptist Church here in Merrick on Long Island. And this afternoon, I have the privilege of interviewing a dear sister in Christ, Lori Grill. Lori is somebody that we've come to know and appreciate in a great way here for about 2.5 years. She's been attending our encouragement group study here on Wednesdays. Lori has been a great encouragement to us. She's been battling with cancer for about almost 3 years now. For as long as we've known her, and we've just been so encouraged and wanted to just see if we can get an interview with her and just ask her some questions, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you as well. So I'm going to begin, Lori, by asking you if you could just give us a brief testimony of just how you came to the Lord and just your background. And
well, when I was little, I was always I always loved anything with Jesus. I remember from the time when I was real little, any pictures about Jesus, any books like with pictures of it, or religious art work, or movies like they come out with, like the 4:30 movie, and it was, you know, during Holy Week, and they have movies about Jesus, and I was just always drawn to Jesus. And my family didn't really, I mean, my dad was a church organist, but we didn't grow up in my family with a personal faith in Jesus and stuff. And he teased me, called me, you know, Holy Mary, because I was interested in stuff. You know, I just was always drawn to Jesus. And I guess it was, Mrs. Bennix, my friend Mrs. Bennix, she just went to be with the Lord in January. She was 94. But she, from the time I was little, from the time I was able to read, she'd give me books to read. And she had Christian books. She'd always give me Christian books as I got older, not so much when I was little. I guess it was more storybooks for children. But as I got older, I was interested in spiritual things. So she'd give me Christian books to read. And through those, like a lot of people's stories about knowing Jesus, I just was so, it's like, I want what they have, you know, I want, they have that whatever it is, I want it, you know. And so I was gradually drawn and committed my life to Jesus when I was in high school, and actually got to know the Nazarene elderly pastor and his wife, who was in Belmore. They had a little Nazarene church in Belmore, mostly elderly congregation people. And they didn't have that many people. It was mostly elderly people that attended. So I committed my life. In high school, I went to one of their services, committed my life to Jesus there in the church when he gave an altar call. It's just, Jesus, even before I knew him, always had an influence in my life. You know, it was always drawing me. And I suffered from depression ever since I was a child. I was always feeling despair and despondency and just like a cloud of gloom, you know, inside me. And never told anybody, because we just didn't tell anybody in our family. We never told anything, you know, about what we were going on, never expressed our feelings. It just wasn't acceptable in my family. So the only one I had to tell was Jesus. So for my whole life, I've always just gone to him, you know, telling him about, you know, if I felt sad, I'd sit in my room and cry sometimes for hours and hours and hours. And the only one I felt I could talk to about anything was Jesus. So I grew up just telling him and just relying on him and talking to him about everything. So it's natural now that, I guess, since I've gotten the cancer, that, you know, I go to him. You know, right. I've always gone to him. So whether it's good time or bad times, I've always just gone to him. So, you know, so when I had the cancer diagnosis, it wasn't even much of a shock that I remember when, it was funny, they said that there was a tumor, and I just wasn't even expecting it to be cancerous when they went in to remove the tumor. And, you know, it was just, it just didn't dawn on me. I said, oh, they're going to remove the tumor. It's not going to be anything I can go on with my life. And they told me it was cancer, but I don't remember even having it, being shocked that it was cancer. It was just like, I guess, you know, I was just like, okay, so what's the next step? You know, like, okay, I got cancer, so what do we do now? And it was just that kind of a thing. I don't really remember being bowled over by it or blindsided by it. It was just, okay, what do we do now, you know? So I guess it's just, you know, Jesus carries you through. Is what it is, you know, whether it's a good situation or a bad situation, Jesus just carries you through, you know?
You know? And what described some of the treatments that you've received over the last 3 years with...
Well, we had this, it's abdominal, at this point it's in the lining of the intestines. It's not in the vital organs. They say it's in the lining of the intestines. But the tumor that I had removed initially was attached to the colon. So I've had to have three abdominal surgeries the first one that they, when they took it, actually they were expecting it to be a different, a tumor in a different area, so they went in and took one look at me and closed me back up. They didn't even take anything out, and then they said, you know, we want you to go elsewhere. They didn't even want to touch me, so that abdominal surgery was totally unnecessary, but I don't blame the doctors. They didn't realize they were expecting something different. So then I went over to Northwell Health, to their cancer center, and that was my second abdominal surgery, where they had to open me up all over again and took out the tumors and everything. And I was good for, actually, with the chemo treatments that they gave me, they got all the tumors. It was a different situation at that point, so they got all the tumors, and I had no trace of cancer, and they just give you the chemo to make sure they catch, if there's anything little that they have to, you know, give you chemo just to hopefully catch what they didn't catch. But I was good for, it was 2016 that I went out for chemo and surgery, and I went back to work 2017, and then by the summer of 2017, they started seeing something, not really knowing what it was, on CAT scans or whatever, and then by 2018, in the April 2018, the doc says we have to start treatment again. Mm. By this time, the cancer was in the lining of the intestines, so it was in a different area. But I had asked the doc, I said, is this the type of cancer? Could it be recurring? And he said, yes, it could be. So, you know, I was kind of hoping that it wouldn't come back, but it unfortunately did come back. But at this point, you know, like, God's in control, you know. He's working out whatever situation he wants. He knows what's best. And that's, I've always had that attitude. I don't even necessarily pray for physical healing. I know other people pray that for me, but my prayer has always been, God, thy will be done, because that's Jesus' prayer, and you can't do better than Jesus, you know. You know, that's my prayer. I feel God knows what's best, and if his best for me is physical healing, he'll do that. And if his best for me is at some point, you know, carrying me through this situation, some point going home, you know, I'm just trusting him, whatever he decides for me. So he knows what's best. And my other prayer, other than thy will be done, my other prayer is, God, you know, whatever brings you glory, and that's what my focus is, whatever brings you glory. Mm. You know, if the healing, physically healing me from cancer, brings you glory, then that's the way to go. If carrying me through and bringing me home to you at some point brings you glory, that's, you know, whatever brings you glory, that's what my prayer is.
Well, we've appreciated, Lori, especially as you said, because we were praying for you the first time when things seemed to get better, well, they did get better, and it seemed like you were cured and everything, you were back to work. And then later on, when you got that, they found something else in there. And so that up and down scenario, sometimes people can see that and grow discouraged and just say, you know, and blame God and be upset. And you've not had that attitude, even though you've had a sense of hope that maybe you were going to be better, and then all of a sudden to have it go the other way. How would you encourage people who go through, because there are people who go through that and they see it almost as, what is God playing with me?
Yeah, why does he give me hope? God punishing me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I know God never punishes, because Jesus took our sins on the cross, which is what we celebrate. This is Holy Week. This is what we're remembering this week, how Jesus did that for us. But I know God teaches us. He uses adversary and problems and difficulties or sickness in our life to teach us. I never felt God was punishing me for something. I just feel that if God is allowing us, he's teaching me through it. So I think that it helps you deal with the situation when you realize, you know, because so many people go through, they get sick or something bad happens in their lives, and they say, what did I do wrong, and why is God punishing me? And I think if you don't have that attitude, you handle things better. But what I do say is, okay, what is God trying to teach me through this situation? And I always feel if we can learn nothing else from what we're going through, it's to become more and more like Jesus. And that's what another prayer that I have. Lord, you know, let this situation help me to become more and more like Jesus. That's our goal, is to be, you know, Christ-likeness and become more and more like Jesus every day. So that's what I pray. If nothing else, no other good thing comes from this cancer situation, let me become more and more like Jesus.
I was thinking, even as you're saying that, in Peter, when Peter talks about how the testing of our faith, whether it's the ups and the downs or the trials, sometimes it's wave after wave, it's that testing of your faith, God says, is worth more than silver or gold, what perishes as you continue to endure. And you've shown that to us, and we've been really encouraged by that. What is presently then, where are you at then, is in the present with the things being with the diagnosis? What is your the trajectory look like going forward based upon what the doctors are saying?
Well, at this point, God hasn't chosen to heal me through chemotherapy and surgery. So at this point, I'm on hospice because the doctors have used, we've done 6 different types of chemo and 2 drug combinations, and it hasn't even arrested, the disease is progressing and hasn't even arrested it, you know. So people say, well, why don't you just keep taking the chemo? But it's not even arresting. I mean, if it was a case where there was either another drug to try, there isn't at this point, or it was arresting it somehow, which it isn't, I mean, you know, people are like, well, just keep taking the chemo, but it's not even doing anything. So I went on hospice, and now hospice is just, they have the minister, they have social work, and nurse comes in for pain management, and they just try to improve your quality of life. That's really what it's all about for hospice, is improving your quality of life, you know, for whatever time you have left. And I don't really know, I don't think the doctor can tell in my case how long, I'm healthy otherwise, I'm strong, I'm young, I'm healthy, so I don't really expect, it's not like, they used to wait till you were like, I guess 6 weeks or less to put you on hospice. They say they don't do that anymore, they put you on hospice right away for pain management and more emotional and spiritual support, so they don't wait. That's why I was shocked when I told the doctor, I said, well, I'm not going to continue treatment. He says, well, we're going to put you on hospice. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm up and walking around. And they say people go to work. They go on hospice and they can go to work if they feel well. But they said they do that. They don't wait anymore. But it is to give you that emotional and spiritual and, you know, mental support, you know, because a lot of people have families, I'm sure, that can't support them in their decision. So they at least have a team that comes to visit you and give you that kind of support, I guess, if your family can't, because not too many families, unless you're 90-something years old, your family can't accept that, you know, for certain family members, they can't accept that, you know, if you're 56 years old, that you're, you know, on hospice, you know.
Earlier in the Bible study today, some of these things came up and you had spoken about, which I thought was excellent, that you said, you know, the reality is that we were talking about how the actual, when we think about death, which is something we're all going to face, the transference of this life into the next life is not so much what we struggle with, it's the process of the dying process. But I thought you had, well, you said yourself, right, that the idea of pain and those kinds of things, that you cringe about thinking about that, and I think any one of us would. But you said something after that about what it is that enables you to take this one day at a time and to face that reality without becoming obsessed so that it destroys you in the present and cripples you. What do you remember what you said?
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yes, I thought that was good, and you used the example of
Peter on the water. Yeah. Like as soon as he was walking on the water, as soon as he shifted his focus and concentrated on the storm, he sunk. And like cancer or any difficulty or any problem we have in our life can be a storm. And I think when we start focusing on the circumstances, that's when we sink into despair, or we sink into, you know, spiritual, you know, discouragement or whatever. But I think I try to keep focused in my mind. I read Christian books. I love Christian worship music. I'm constantly keeping, you know, either by worship music, reading the Bible, or reading Christian books that I have to keep my focus on God, because I feel like, you know, like Peter, I feel like as soon as I shift my focus onto something, whether it might be pain, that I might be experiencing pain or dying down the line or something, you know, then you get all anxious and hysterical and everything like that. And I said, you know, I find once I keep my focus on Jesus, if I bring my focus back and I focus on Him, then, you know, all of a sudden, like, you don't have that anxiety. It's that Bible verse that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind just focus on you because he trusts in you.
Amen.
And, you know, that's what I try to do. That's actually one of my favorite. I have a lot of favorite verses, but John 3:16-17, that's one of my other favorite verses. So.
That confidence that he's, yeah, that's great, that you know whatever the future holds.
Yeah.
Certainly God could heal you. Yeah. He may not. We don't know what the trajectory is. Ultimately, God does. But the fact that you're confident that he's going to be with you, whatever happens, and in the end, for all of us, right, when we're in Christ, we know that the outcome is glory, and that's certainly not going to be a regret.
And I like that. It's not a Bible verse, but I like that saying that says, I know not what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. I don't know who wrote it, but I have a little encouragement book, and that's one of my little things that I've written in. I've written little sayings like that. I read back every so often in my little encouragement book on little sayings like that.
What would you say, Laurie, if you had, and this is kind of sometimes a little hard thing to just maybe to think of on the spot, but if you could say something to anybody who watched this, any kind of advice or something on your heart, what would be the one thing you want people to remember? On the spot thought, and I realize you could think about that for a long time, but any thoughts that you would share with somebody watching, what you would want them to think, or what?
I think you need to draw comfort from the Lord first and foremost, and family, and people that can support you. I know a lot of people, like I know, you know, and that's what I've prayed for God to bring to people in my life that can handle the situation, because I know some people can't as far as a hospice situation, and God has definitely done that, bring people in my life, even like the nurses I work with, and they're Catholic, they're not born again Christians. I don't really know what their beliefs are, you know, usually Catholics, it's more of a traditional, it may not be a personal faith in Jesus, but I got a testimony, got an opportunity to share with them a little bit. Because they say, how do you stay so positive through this situation? And I got a chance to say, well, Jesus helps me, you know, and I got a chance to share that with them. You know, and I think being positive does help, because I think any situation that you go through, a negative, whether it be, you could be going through a divorce with your family, or, you know, a spouse, or you can be losing a child, or a child sick, or any kind of stressor, if you, it's so easy to sink into despair, and I think if you just try to have a positive faith, and just keep, you know, with positive people, staying in God's Word, listening to worship music, whatever helps you, you know, that helps a lot. It may not take the problem away, but it helps you deal with it better to keep focused, positive. I don't think of it in terms of being positive thinking. I think of it in terms of positive faith. You know. A lot of people tote the positive thinking,
right.
I mean, positive thinking for Christians is just a positive faith, trusting in God, and you know, you do that through keeping your mind on God's Bible verse, you know, God's Word, Bible verses. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to memorize a whole chapter or something, just a Bible verse, like I quoted, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Just something simple like that you can keep in your mind, you know, to keep, because that helps you deal with stuff, you know, to keep positive when everything else is crashing on around you, you know, it's like...
Well, whatever you're doing with that, it's working. So keep doing what you're doing. And like I said...
I love worship music. I tell Jesus all the time, I said, when you come to take me home, Lord, bring the worship music. Because I just love hearing his praises sung. I love to listen to worship music with the Lord's praises, and the worship music is sung. So I always pray, Lord, the time is that you come to take me home, bring the worship music, bring the angels,
bring
to sing your praises, because I just love worship. I just, that ministers to me more than anything is worship music, you know. I'll just sit there, and sometimes I sit there listening to worship music, and the tears are just, I just love, it just touches me so much, you know.
What was this, there was a song last week that you wrote, I believe, and you sang like part of it. Do you remember that? Can you do that? If you're comfortable?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what my voice is. It's safe in Jesus' arms.
Sing that for us if you can. I love that. I thought that was really nice.
My voice is good, but...
That's
fine. Safe in Jesus' arms forever, safe within his tender care, I am nurtured, loved, protected, all my burdens he will bear. Safe in Jesus' arms I'm cared for, folded to his loving heart, close to him all blessed assurance, on his side I'll never depart. Safe in Jesus' arms I'm happy, in his strength I find my rest, lest I learn to trust, obey him, I come to find his ways best. Safe in Jesus' arms eternal, he with me while life goes on, I with him when life is over, content. my heart to be at home.
Amen. That's beautiful, Lord. Love that.
Yeah, I wrote the poem, and that tune just came to me. So Paul's gonna put it down and write it in music. So.
Well, I can certainly see that being something that Christians would sing. Really encouraging words. Well, we appreciate you, Lori. Appreciate you willing to do this interview. And for anybody watching, certainly want to encourage you to pray for our sister, Lori, that God would continue to give her strength and grace to accept His will. And if His will to heal, we would certainly be thrilled to see that. And if not, that He would continue to enable to have the attitude that she's had and to show His glory.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. Another good Bible verse.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Lori. Appreciate that. Appreciate everything.
Thank you.